Morning.
Morning.
Thank you for another chance. I don't know who's responsible. Ed gave this to me this morning. So whoever is, I appreciate this. Pardon? Pastor Bob. I will thank him personally. The reason I picked this scripture, it's a little bit of a long, not really a long story, but about 2 weeks ago, Gay and I were headed to Wyoming, hauling horses up to Wyoming to ride in the Bighorn Mountains. And just as I was about to get out of phone service, I get a text from Mike Drake, which is the pastor of the United Church of Atwood. And he's having some surgery, and he said, would you fill the pulpit for me on the 20, whatever it is, in July? Yeah, I'll do that for you. And the hardest thing about doing that is, what do you talk about? You know, you have to face it. There's not many topics out there, or you haven't heard many sermons, that they're pretty similar. And I thought about it, and so I thought, I'm just going to be still. I'm just going to be still. As we ride in the Bighorn Mountains, I'm just going to see these ideas come to me. Now, you have to understand this. I am a work in progress. I don't like to stand up there. I don't like that when it says sermon by my name, especially when I'm close to home. People know me. No. I'm a work in progress. And I have said before, this Christianity thing is not a destination. It's a journey. And all of us are at different places in that journey. We're never going to get there. We ain't never going to get perfect. I'm a perfect example. God doesn't use those that are ready. He gets you ready to use. So I'm being readied to use. So as I was thinking about the things, I came up with three points. If you notice, the title is Drop Your Reins. And I this little epiphany came to me when we were riding, and we're right about 9,000 feet and in the mountains, and you come down, it's on the cloud in this area, and we were crossing this pretty expansive creek, river, and the water was just roaring through there, and it's covered with boulders. You can't see it. It's all that white water. I can't see it. And I took our horses up to it, and she has the brave horse. She's always the leader. So if you ever see pictures, all he gets the back of his head and the rump of her horse. I follow. And she takes her horse to the water, and Bill, he's 19 years old. He's been to the mountains a million times. I hate to be like miles in his odometer. But he'll look, and that's when you just drop the reins. We don't try to tell him. You have to put your faith in that horse. And so the epiphany is, how many times in our lives do we need to just drop the reins? How many times, and I usually pick topics and things I struggle with, and this is one of mine. I'm a kind of a control freak. I really think I can just bull my neck and I can get myself through about anything. Sometimes I forget who's getting me through those things. We were riding one time in Missouri, and I can get lost in the parking lot. My mother, if you know my mother, my hero in my life, she has the worst sense of direction of anybody in the world, and that is the one quality I inherited. We were riding. Gay and a friend had ridden off. I took a nap. And I woke up. I had borrowed a horse because mine was lame. This horse had never been there before. I thought, well, I'll just go find it. So I started riding here and rode there and rode there and rode there. And all of a sudden I realized I have no idea where I am. And I looked. I said, this horse had never been here either. So I decided, a little prayer, I'm going to drop the reins. So every time we came to a decision, you know, like Yogi Bear, when we came to that fork, we took it. We got to that fork, I just took all the pressure of my legs and hands off, and I let the horse choose. I thought, ooh, I don't like this. I went. Sure enough, I was back home. In our life, Our faith is tested many times. And in our life, we have to learn. And it's hard to do sometimes. It's just to drop the reins. Have faith that God's going to take care of you. It may not be the way you thought it was going to be, or the way you want to be, but He will. The second thing, as we're driving into Bighorns, there was a big sign. These mountains are 3.25 billion years old. 3.25 billion years old. I say a billion is 1,000 million. Boy. And I thought, I'm 72. If I go by the charts, I got about 6 years left. You know? So if I take my 78 and divide it by 3.25 billion, that's a pretty small fraction. So it kind of reminds me of another thing that says, life is short, enjoy it. Eternity is long, prepare for it. Every day, and it started when my mother was in the Everhart Village, and then she required more assistance and then spent the last year and a half in the nursing home, I would go in every day and I would take the upper room with me. Well, I would go to Mom's room. She was never in a room. She was always in the, with everybody. Mom never did stay. She liked to be involved. So I thought, well, maybe some of the residents would enjoy a daily devotions too. So I would read the upper room, the scripture, and the lesson. And I did that. After Mother passed away in March, I'm still doing it. Now, people thank me for doing that like it's some big deal, but I have to admit, sometimes I'm the only person still awake during devotions. My goal is 60%. 60% awake. I'm doing pretty darn good. But I look at these people, and they, you know, we talk about everlasting life. Can you imagine that? Eternally? Forever? And how short? How short we're on. And why are we getting all excited about it? You know? Why are you getting excited about it? Because the best is yet to come. And I'm talking to people who are 97, 98, 101. You know? Probably. Pretty soon. Could be for me. You know? That's all God. It's on God. And the faith these people have, it's amazing. They're excited. This is better than the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. You know, when you die here, to realize that when you die here, and I have the honor and privilege of watching two or three of the residents, including my mother, pass away, being with her. You can see it. You can see the face of Jesus. Ain't no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. And when we talk about that, I say, look at this. No wheelchairs. No oxygen tanks. No doctor's appointments. No hospitals. No band-aids. My mother loved to run. I mean, run. And she was pretty darn fast. And I remember I was a kid, probably a sophomore in high school. Not that I was a speed merchant, because I wasn't, but we'd be walking down. We lived right across from the high school, about a block down from the high school, and we were walking down one time. I was probably 14, 15, and Mom looked at Mom. I said, "Hey, Mom, it's about 100 yards to the end. Want to race?" Before I could get the rest of the question out, boom, she took off. And I took off. And I mean, it was all I could do. Could barely catch to her. And I remember she talked about when she was teaching out here. She first started teaching in 1939, mostly Amish kids, between Arthur and Sullivan. In those days, you would go home with the students on weekends, you know, families. He had my uncle, I don't know if you knew Dwayne Powell, Brownie, was in her class. He was an eighth grader. So was Billy Watkins. I tell you how long that was, the eighth grader. And Mom went home with Uncle Brownie to Wiener Roast. That's where she met Dad. They played, you know, duck, duck, goose. We all kind of sat around. Dad could never catch her. Finally, she slowed down enough to let him catch her. So I think now Mama's running again. So I can just see her. And it's all personal preference. When my passed away, I didn't want to open the casket because I wanted my mother, my memory of my mother, to be running. I want to see her running. Easy and free, and now she is. The third lesson I think I learned is a little bit came this. For 2 weeks, we were Amish up there in the mountains. No electricity. No cell phones. No, we had to do crazy things like talk to each other. Read. Wow. You know what? It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. But one of the things I think I learned, my third point, we were there last year or so, and they'd had a pine borer beetle issue. When they have a drought in the mountains, the pine borer beetles, they're always there, but the trees are very vulnerable when they're extremely dry. It kills them. So we had a massive parts of the mountains, but the new pines were just growing up. And we took this one ride. It was a beautiful ride, and we were riding up, and you were at high elevation, and the pine trees were small. You could see out. Well, you could see forever. Oh, what a pretty ride. See the meadows, the parks. You see moose, elk. Unbelievable, like a calendar. So we were talking about how fun that ride was. We're going to do it again. So one morning, it was a beautiful morning, we saddled up and we head up. Unfortunately, the trees must have grown about 4 feet. And all I could see was trees. Just trees. I said, about here, I think you can't see anything. And the pollen was coming off pine trees. I led this time, and mine was just green with pollen. You know the thing? You can't see the forest for the trees? And this thought came to me. Sometimes we don't see the blessings we have when we let the little inconveniences of life get in our way. I have to think about my blessings. Man, I had a plethora. I just learned that word not long ago. I like to use it. Plethora means a lot of blessings. First of all, being born into the family I was born into. You know, Dad, those of you who knew him, I know Dale. Dad was kind of a no-nonsense kind of guy. You know, he really didn't think his job was to be my friend. He thought he was the spiritual leader of the family, and I was his disciple. Weird. Yes, that was. I knew he loved me. But he was, you know, my self-esteem was not a high priority of his. Hurting my feelings was not a high priority. Not that he was ever abusive to me. So I think my mother, perfect. And when I was a principal at Little Grove, and Nick can tell you too, I visited a lot of homes, and a lot of trailer. And I looked around how some of these kids grew up, and I often thought, what would ever have happened to me if I had to live here? What would I turn down? That was the first thing. Then I had a Bible here. I was looking at the Bible I had, and I opened it up, and I put it up there. It's a 1954. And I'll mention names. Beth will know these names. Mary Bourne, and Mary Lois Personat, Phyllis Steele. These were my Sunday school teachers. Mrs. Bean, English teacher for years. Everybody had Mrs. Bean. Going down in Sunday school down in the basement in the old Methodist church. Little red chairs. About this high. Dropping, 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 dropping. Hear the pennies fall. Everyone for Jesus. He will get them all. We'd sing that song. She was a high school English teacher. What a great money. Not much of that. But we had what was important. We had a sense of family. Not just in the church, but when you were in somebody else's house and you messed up, you're about to get a spanking there as you would if you're at home. And you sure didn't dare tell your dad about it, you get another one. You know? Rules the rules. I don't care who you are. That's just some of the many, many blessings. My health, being able to be here. We can sit here without fear. I mean, it just goes on and on. So we need to let, you know, we need to work hard. I'm talking about me now. Remember, I'm in progress. Work hard, not to let the junk get in the way of the appreciation and thankfulness for the blessings you have. Yeah, we got problems. We got problems. Sure we do. I sit with these old folks at the nursing home when I always try to get these things right away before they lose them, before they go to sleep. Wheelchair, you can't talk, you're completely dependent on somebody else, you know, yet they still hang in there. So I, you know, some mornings I get up and I got things to do and I really don't have the time to go in. I'll go in. As soon as I sit down and see those people and we start, man, just charges my battery. It really does. So I say this just to tell you it's in life's lessons, and I always tell kids when they're getting in for a career, I would recommend that you get into a career of service. I don't care what it is. And you can make that service out of any career of service where you can make a difference. Make a difference in someone. Because that's how God works. You know, God, Jesus is not going to walk through those doors and lay down the. He works through you. You're the hand of God. What you do and how you treat people, that's how God works. So, be still. Be still and know that I, not me, I am God, exalted above all nations, exalted in the earth. I can use your name, Lydia Miller. I don't know if you know Lydia or not. Floyd's mother, she's B99. And Floyd and Lydia's the sweetest little girl, plays harmonica. When we have a theme song. It's Jesus Loves Me and This Little Light of Mine. And it's how bad it is. I lead the singing, and I'm one of the better singers. And I'm terrible. That doesn't make any difference. We sing loud. And Lydia plays the harmonica. And when Lydia plays the harmonica, there's not much warm-up. She better be paying attention. Just take right off. Lydia will say, am I an Arthur? Yes, Lydia, you're an Arthur. Oh, do I live here? Yeah, Lydia. And we're glad you do. Okay. But I don't care what scripture I pull out of the Bible. I can just randomly pick one. I say the first three words. She'll finish it every time. So I said, Lydia, what's the 46th Psalm, verse 10? Where do I find it? Lydia says, in the Bible. Thank you. Do you know what? No. Let me help you. Be still. Boom. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Every time. I don't care where I pick. That's there. We have another lady out there. She has Huntington's disease, and she can only say about three words at a time. Yeah. To get it started, it's really hard. I have her lead the Lord's Prayer. I said, Doctor, lead the Lord's Prayer. Yes. We'll wait, we'll pause, and I'll say, Our Father. As soon as I say Our Father, she goes through the whole thing. Never misses a word. Never misses a word. You think these people have faith? Always was. I need to spend some time with God. I need to be still. Shut my mouth, open my ears and my heart. And my attention span, you know, humans now have gotten less than 12 seconds. We're down to 9. Goldfish have 12. We have 9. So it takes work and practice. It takes work to get all this junk out of your head, to not think about what we're having for dinner today or think about what the kids are doing or think all that stuff we call life. It's so important to us that really in the end, it doesn't matter. It's to be still. Open your hearts and your mind. Let God in. Now, as I say, I'm a work in progress. I'm not telling you that because I got it figured out and probably drag you people up with me. I'm telling you, I struggle with this too. And that's part of the journey. Bow your heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you with such thanksgiving for the many, many blessings, far outweighing other issues in our lives. We give you all the credit and all the glory and ask for your wisdom, your discernment, your help, and your patience as we try to be instruments of you. We hold these things up in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.